Third parak of Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Hey Amud Beis and Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Let's learn the Mishnah together. Ra'uhu Bezdin V'chol Yisrael. So the Mishnah is describing the process of Kiddush HaChodesh. As we know, nowadays we have a fixed calendar that was set up by Hillel Hasheni. That's not the same as the famous Hillel HaZaken. This was Hillel at a later point in history. Yes, tell your mother. I know who you are. I saw her at the shir, and thanks for coming. So the Mishnah says, Ra'uhu Bezdin V'chol Yisrael. So let's say you have, back in the times when they didn't have a fixed calendar like we have right now, so they used to have, Adam would come in and say that they saw the Levana, they saw the moon, and now it's obviously time to declare the month Rosh Chodesh. Ra'u Bezdin v'chol Yisrael, if Bezdin and the entire Jewish people are all standing outside, and everybody sees the new moon, so it's obvious that it's going to be Rosh Chodesh. Nechgeru ha'edim. So this is a very strange line that the Gemara is going to pick up on. Why do we have to go and have Edim come forward when everybody's standing outside and everybody's watching? And everybody knows that it's Rosh Chodesh. Why do we have to have Edim come and approach the Bezdin and tell them it's Rosh Chodesh? Everybody knows it's Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara will tell us what this means. V'lo hispiku lomar mekudosh ad shecha shecha. So we're all standing outside and we see the Levana while it's still light. Now two Edim come and approach the Bezdin and say, we're giving testimony. Nechru ha'edim, we start looking into the edim and asking them all sorts of difficult questions to make sure that they really saw the Levana properly. But we didn't have a chance to say Mekudosh, which is the climax of this process. We didn't have a chance to say Mekudosh HaChodesh until it already gets dark outside. So now what do? We're stuck. We're stuck because you're not allowed to be Mekadosh LeChodesh Balayla. So the Gemara says, Harei Zeh Me'uver. What you do in a case like that is you declare the month before as being a Chodesh Mu'uber. Now, this is not something we're used to because we have a set calendar, so we always know when it's going to be a Chodesh Male or a Chodesh Chaser. But back in the times of the Gemara, when they used to do Kiddush Al Pi HaRe'iyah, when they used to have Edim come before a Bezdin and tell them what they saw and tell them whether or not the moon that they saw was really declaring it Rosh Chodesh, so then there were times when it didn't always work out that they found out exactly at the right time. Let's say the two Edim that saw the Levana live out in Tzvat, and it's going to take them a long time. They didn't have cars, so it's going to take them a long time till they come to the Bezdin, until they get to Yerushalayim. So in a case like that, obviously we're going to declare the month before as being a Chodesh Male, as an Iber month, and then we're going to have the next month start a day later. Now the Mishnah continues. Ra'u Bezdin Bovad. Let's say there's a Bezdin, and Tosis points out we're talking about a Bezdin of 23 Dayanim. Let's say you have 23 Dayanim sitting around, and they all happen to see the Levana. So in a case like that, Yamdu Shnayim, you should have two of them stand up, V'ya'idu Bifneihem, and they should give the testimony in front of the other remaining 21. V'yomer, and then the 21 will declare, Mekudosh, Mekudosh. Fine. Now the Gemara goes on another case. Ra'u Shlosha, let's say you have three, a Bezdin of three, who see the Levana, the Hain Bezdin, Yamdu Hashnayim, the two people in the Bezdin, out of the three who are sitting there, should stand up. Now listen carefully to the Lashon of the Mishnah. Yamdu Hashnayim, two out of the three who were all sitting together as a Bezdin should stand up. V'yoshivu mechavreihem eitzel hayachid. So you need a Bezdin of three in order to be considered a Bezdin. But two out of the three have already excluded themselves because they're going to serve as the Edim, who are going to give testimony before the other people that they saw the Levana. Problem is, you only have one person still sitting there. So the other two stand up, one sitting there, but he can't be a Bezdin. And we can't be the Bezdin because we're the ones who are serving as the Edim. So the Gemara says, you pull a couple of guys off the street, and now you make an ad hoc Bezdin, and you have the two original members of the Bezdin serve as the Edim, and you have three other people who are going to serve as the Dayanim. V'yoshivu mechavreihem eitzel hayachid v'yaidu bifneihem. V'yomru mekudosh mekudosh. Now, why is this necessary? She'ein hayachid neman ayidei atzmo. Because a person, one person alone, is not good enough to declare the month as being Rosh Chodesh, to say mekudosh mekudosh. You need a bezdin of at least three people, and therefore we assume, in a case like this where you have three people who serve as a bezdin, who happen to see the Levana, so you need two of them to exclude themselves from the bezdin. They have to take themselves out. They're now going to be designated as the Edim, as the witnesses, but they needed a test or a bet, so therefore we have the one person who was there originally, and we add on a few others. Now, the Sefer Yireim writes, nowadays when we have the practice on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh to announce that this month is going to be Rosh Chodesh, we do Birchas HaChodesh once a month, so what is that all about? So there are some who mistakenly think, that's what the Yireim writes, there are some who mistakenly think that that's like Kiddush HaChodesh, that the reason we do that is to be Mekadosh LeChodesh. But that's not correct, because the Chodesh is already Mekudesh based on the calendar that we have. Let's say one Shabbos there's a storm and nobody comes to Shul, and we don't end up doing Berachas HaChodesh. What are you going to say? That week is not going to be Rosh Chodesh? Of course it's going to be Rosh Chodesh. So the Yireim writes, the only reason why we do it is Ehachroza Ba'alma. We do it just to notify everybody that they should know that this week is going to be Rosh Chodesh, and that they should remind themselves to recite Yalla V'Yavo. And there are some women who have the practice not to do Malacha, different kinds of Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. So that's the reason why we do it the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, in order that everybody will be aware that coming in a few days is going to be a day when we're going to have to remind ourselves to recite Yalla V'Yavo. So this is the opinion of the Rishon, that when we do Berachas HaChodesh nowadays, it's not connected at all with the experience of the old Kiddush HaChodesh that they used to have. What's surprising is the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham writes that when we do the Berachas HaChodesh, he says everybody has to stand up when we are Mekadesh, not when we're Mekadesh, when we do Berachas HaChodesh on Shabbos, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh. Now why is that? Says the Magen Avraham, Dome leKiddush HaChodesh shehaya bizman shebeis HaMikdash haya kayam. Says the Magen Avraham, the same way you used to have to stand up when they did Kiddush HaChodesh in the times of the Gemara. So too nowadays we have to do the very same. When we are doing something which resembles that which they did in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, in the times of the Sanhedrin, even though obviously it's not exactly the same, because we have a set calendar, we're not really setting the Rosh Chodesh on the Shabbos before the Rosh Chodesh comes, but still, since we're doing something that resembles what used to be, we should do it in a similar fashion, and therefore he writes, we should stand up as we do it. And Rabbi Kiva Eger there on the spot writes, Tameyani, something like the Lashon he uses is, I didn't write it down, but something like Bayer Ani Velo Eda. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know what planet he fell from. What's the Magen Avraham saying? You have to stand up the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh when you do Berachas HaChodesh. Now we know that's our practice. So some say, well, we only do it because we take the Sefer Torah. So once the Sefer Torah is in an erect position, then we also have to be standing up. But the Magen Avraham says, forgetting about the Sefer Torah, we have to stand up anyway because that's the way they do it. Says Rabbi Kiva, what are you talking about? Why don't you read the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah? Magen Avraham, you don't know what you're saying. Look at the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah where it says clearly that even at the times of yore, when they used to really be Mekadesh L'Chodesh in the right way, they didn't used to stand up. They specifically used to sit. How do we know this? Look back in the Mishnah. Says the Magen Avraham, if you read the Mishnah carefully, what is the last case that the Mishnah says? You have a bezdin of three people. Ra'uhu Shlosha, look at the first wide line. Ra'uhu Shlosha, you have three people who are serving as a bezdin. So what do? The three of them see the Levana. And we have a problem here because two of them have to be Edim, three of them have to be Dayanim, but we only have three people and we need five. So the Gemara says, look, no problem. Yamdu Hashnayim, the two Edim are going to stand up in order to offer their testimony. V'yoshivu mechavrehem eitzel hayachid. And they should seat another two people in order that we should have a bezdin of three people sitting in order that you should be able to be Mekadosh L'Chodesh. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, don't you see clearly from our Mishnah, V'yoshivu mechavrei means everybody has to be seated in order to declare Rosh Chodesh. So why does the Magen Avraham make up a new din? Magen Avraham says, when we have the Berachas HaChodesh the week before Rosh Chodesh, once a month, everybody has to stand. Why? Because in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, in the times of the Sanhedrin, everybody used to stand when they were Mekadosh L'Chodesh. It's not true. Read the Mishnah. Mishnah says clearly, they used to sit when they were Mekadosh L'Chodesh. So how do you explain this, Magen Avraham? Good. So we're on to something. So that's also a question. What is the status of everybody in the room when we're being Mevarech the Chodesh? What exactly is our status? Are we like the Bezdin, or are we like the Edim, or are we like the crowd that's just crowding around and listening? So these are all very good questions. They're So we'll get to that. So you're correct. We'll get to that. So in general, there's a question by many mitzvahs, whether or not we have to stand when we perform certain mitzvahs, and whether or not we have to stand when we recite the bracha on certain mitzvahs. So the question is, which mitzvahs require standing, and which mitzvahs do not? The Shulchan Aruch writes in Ilchos Tzitzis, in Simen Ches, it's in Arachayim Simen Ches, says the Shulchan Aruch, Tzarech le'isatev b'tzitzis v'yivarech me'umad. So obviously if a person is disabled, the person's in a wheelchair, so they can't. But the Shulchan Aruch writes, obviously lechatchila, but if a person can't, they can't. But lechatchila, a person should stand up when they're reciting the bracha on the tzitzis. Now the question is why? Where does that come from? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, a very famous drasha. Mishnah Berurah writes, well, it says, Mehachel Chermesh Bakama. Where does it say that? By Omer. So it says, Mehachel Chermesh Bakama. What exactly is the interpretation of that pasuk? Nothing to do with standing at all. What does that mean? It means, when it starts growing, what? When you have the stalks. When you have the stalks. That's when you should do Omer, right? So that's where we learn the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. What does that have to do with anything else? So now we have to have another drasha. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, based on the Rishonim, it says, by Sfiras HaOmer, Mehachal Chemrish Bakama, when the stalks are standing upright. And from there we learn that when a person counts Sfira, they have to be standing, which is already a stretch, because that's not what the simple understanding of the Pasuk is referring to at all. It means, when are you supposed to recite, when are you supposed to start the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, Mehachal Chemrish Bakama? But we take it out of context a little and we say, well, by Sfiras HaOmer, everyone has to stand. Okay, so how does that help us for tzitzis? Well, now we're going to take a giant leap forward. Well, by Sfiras HaOmer, it says the word lachem. And therefore, any other mitzvah in the Torah where it says lachem, like usvartam lachem, anywhere else where it says lachem, you also have to stand. This is like chiddush on top of a chiddush, because in the first place, how do we know Sfiras HaOmer, you have to stand, is a very loose interpretation of a pasuk that's not really referring to that at all. And now we're going to take it a giant step forward and say, well, the same way it says lachem by Sfiras HaOmer, you have to stand, so you have to stand by every other mitzvah in the Torah where it says lachem as well. So this is a tremendous chiddush. Now, by the mitzvah of tzitzis, we're told, Vasula hem tzitzis, but that's not what is going on. V'haya lachem l'tzitzis. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, the same way by Sfiras HaOmer you have to stand up while you count and recite the Sfira, so too by putting on the tzitzis you have to stand up while you're doing it. What are the other examples of where we find the word lachem? So there's a list that some Rishonim give. The Rishonim say, number one. So 1 second. So the first one is lachem by, obviously by Sfiras HaOmer. That's the origin of the halacha. Then we have lachem by tzitzis, where it says what? V'haya lachem l'tzitzis. By shofar we have to stand up because it says what? Yom Tshua Yielachem. So there also we learn that we have to stand. By lulav, somebody said correctly, ulakachtem lachem by Yom Arishon. By Mila, we're told, Himal Lachem, which the Achronim have a major discussion. What do you mean, stand by Mila? You're the Sandik, how are you going to stand? You're the Mol. What's going on? How are you going to do that? So that's a very interesting question. In fact, the Chassidish Rebbes used to have the minig. I was even at a bris once by the Skver Rebbe, came to one of my cousin's bris, and I have no idea why. But I don't remember what the story was. I was very young, but I remember that the Skver Rebbe came to the bris, and he was the Sandik and the Mol. And not only was he the Sandik and the Mol, go figure. Not only was he the Sandik and the Mol, but he also, with Mitzitza Bepeh, not only was he the Sandik and the Mol, but he was also, it was twins. So they had one bris after the other, and the Skver Rebbe came in, did the bris, sat there, washed his hands in between, took a little walk around the block, came back, did another one run after the other. And this is what many discuss. If it says by Mila, Hima Lachem Kol Zachar, they have to stand up while you're performing the Mitzvah Bris Mila, if you're going to serve as the Sandik and the Mol at the same time, which apparently is a customer out there. So how do you do that? Not only is it hard enough to be the Sandik and the Mol at the same time, but to stand while you do that is a real trick. So this is something that's interesting. Okay, but that's by Mila. I assume it's not so applicable to most of us. Some say that Halal, the reason you have to stand is because we say Hashir Yelachem Kalelis Kadesh Chag, and others say by Havdalah you have to stand as well because it says V'Hivdaltam Lachem. So those are already fancy drushes. Those aren't the simple understanding. But these other mitzvahs, we assume, are Me'ikar Adin, you're really supposed to stand when performing those mitzvahs. And one of the examples is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, that when you're Mekadesh LeChodesh, you should stand up. This is why we say, by Kiddush Levana, some say that's the origin, that's the makor why you're supposed to stand. Even though if you read Kiddush Levana properly, that's not really the reason that we're told. When I was a young child, my father used to say Kiddush Levana with me every month. We used to come out of shul when it was time, and he used to sit there and say every word with me, and then on our way home, he used to ask me every month, without fail, when I was a kid, every month, "So Shai, do you think you have to stand when you say Kiddush Levana? What about sitting down?" I said, "What does he want from me? I don't know." So I never knew the answer. He said, "You know, think about it." And that was it. He never told me. And it wasn't until I got a little bit older and finally I understood the words that I was saying, where we say, Hilkoch Tzarech Lemeimra Me'umad. Never understood those Aramaic words. So it wasn't until I finally got the answer right that he finally stopped asking me the question. But that's why Kiddush Levana we stand is not really because of Lachem. In Kiddush Levana we say the reason we stand is because the Shechina is present. What? It's Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. So that's an interesting question. Chuppah v'kiddushin, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They're supposed to stand by the kavod habracha, so what do you need all the lachem
for? So there are certain mitzvahs that we have to perform in a standing position as well. That's what lachem comes to teach you also.
Chuppah v'kiddushin,
okay.
There's no lachem.
So why do we stand by a chuppah v'kiddushin? What? Kiddush, there are many different menhagim, whether you stand or you sit.
There's at least one that I...
Yeah, my father told me once that Rabbi Gifter told him, we were related to Rabbi Gifter, my mother's sister married Rabbi Gifter's son. So my father and Rabbi Gifter were very close. Rabbi Gifter told my father that there are four menhagim in Shulchan Aruch about Kiddush. So one minhag is you stand the whole thing, one minhag is you sit the whole thing. So what are the other two? One is that you sit for the just Yom HaShishi and then you sit down. And the other minhag is you stand for the first half and then you sit for the second half. Rabbi Gifter told my father that at four different periods in his life, he had all four different minhagim. Because first when he grew up in his family had one practice. Then he went to Telz Yeshiva and they had one practice. Then he went to YU, and YU they did something else. And then later on in his life, he said, I thought all three of them were wrong, and I adopted the fourth practice that the Shulchan Aruch quotes. So anyway, that's fascinating to note that have different minhagim. Either way, the Birkei Yosef writes that perhaps this is what the Magen Avraham means. Since it says, HaChodesh Azeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim, the Magen Avraham understands that drasha of Lachem to mean that you have to stand up while being Mekadosh LeChodesh. So ask the Birkei Yosef, how are you going to explain our Mishnah? Doesn't it say, Yamdu Hashnayim, two of them have to stand, V'yoshivu Mechavreim, and they should let everybody else sit in order to be Mekadosh LeChodesh? What does that mean? So precisely like you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, precisely, that's the right answer. When you have the Edim giving the testimony, the halacha is in Choshen Mishpat, and it's based on the Gemara and Shavuos, that when people are giving testimony, the Dayanim have to be in a sitting position. So that's what it means here. You take two of the Edim, they stand up and offer their testimony, you have the Dayanim sitting down accepting the testimony, but after that, once it comes time to say Mekudosh HaChodesh, then the Magen Avraham believes that everyone stands up out of the drasha that we're told, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. And therefore, says the Magen Avraham, from there we can extrapolate as well, that when we come to a case of Birchas HaChodesh, like we do once a month, we should also have the position of standing up to be a replica of what used to be in the times of Kiddush HaChodesh. Okay, so far so good? So let's move to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Lama li the Misni. So we have a couple of cases in our Mishnah, and the Gemara is bothered. Lama li the Misni, Ra'u Bezdin V'chol Yisrael. Why is it important for me to know Ra'u Bezdin V'chol Yisrael? Isn't it the same? If Bezdin sees it, they can be Mekadosh LeChodesh. If Chol Yisrael sees it, what is that adding to the case? Says the Gemara, Itzdrich, I need this to tell me the following. So, Kadai Techamina, I would have thought. Ho, Ra'u Bezdin V'chol Yisrael. Since Bezdin was standing outside in the park together with all of Klal Yisrael, and everybody sees what's happening, everybody knows it's Rosh Chodesh because we all saw the moon. Ifarsim Elo V'lo Liavrua. Why should we have to even convene a Bezdin? Everybody's here, everybody sees, we get on the loudspeakers and we say, look, everybody saw the moon, no reason for us to convene a Bezdin, now it's already after Shkia, it's already after Tzeis, we cannot say Mekudosh HaChodesh now, so what are we going to be stuck doing? We're going to have to wait and make the Chodesh Me'ubar that just passed? Let's not do that. Why not say everybody was there, everybody saw, so just assume that everybody knows it's Rosh Chodesh. Says the Gemara, Kamash Malan, that's why our Mishnah comes to tell us the Chiddush, that even though Ra'u Bezdin, even though the Bezdin saw, and all of the Jewish people saw, and everybody knows for certain that it's Rosh Chodesh, still, you need the Bezdin to declare that it's Rosh Chodesh, and until that happens, it's not going to be the Rosh Chodesh. Now, ask the Gemara another question. B'kivin detanalei Ra'uhu Bezdin v'chal Yisrael. So now that we have that case of Bezdin and all the Jewish people seeing the Levana, and we know that you have to go ahead and still be Mekadosh LeChodesh anyway, Nechkeru Ha'edim Lamali, what is that adding? Why do I have to have a whole process of looking into the Edim to find out whether or not they're telling the truth? What do you mean? We all saw the Levana. What do you think? The Edim are lying? They were there together with everybody else. So why do we have to go interrogate the Edim in a case like this? So you're right. In a regular month when two Edim show up out of nowhere, we don't know who they are. We haven't seen it on our own. Of course we have to interrogate them. But in a case where Ra'u, Bezdin, V'chol Yisrael, everybody sees it without a shadow of a doubt, why do we have to go and interrogate the Edim to find out if they're telling us the truth? Says the Gemara, what it means is the following. Hachika Amar. It's two different cases that the Gemara, that the Mishnah is describing. Case number one is Ra'uhu Bezdin V'chal Yisrael. Which means, we all see it, and in that case, we don't have to interrogate the Edim. Inami, the second case is Nechgru Ha'edim Elo Espiku Lomer Mekudosh Atshech HaShecha HaRezim Uber. The second case that the Mishnah is describing is a normal case, where we're sitting as a Bezdin, and Edim show up to us, and they say, we saw the Levana, we think it's Rosh Chodesh, we have to go and interrogate and do our due diligence to find out if they're telling us the truth. And in a case like that, if it took too long, and now it's already dark outside, and now it's too late to be Mekadosh the Chodesh, then we'll say that the Chodesh is Me'ubar, and the next Chodesh is going to be Chaser. Okay? Now let's move on a little further. The Kivin Detana Adshe Chashecha Arezim Uber. Once we're told that if it gets dark already, you're not able to be Mekadosh the Chodesh, you have to wait till tomorrow. Lamali Lemisni Chakiras Edim Klal. Why do I have to know about the Chakira at all? What Chiddush are we learning from that? When the Mishnah says that you have to interrogate the Edim, what does that teach me? Itzrich, says the Gemara, that would teach me the following. So, Kedai Dechamina, I would have thought, Tihabi Chakiras Edim Kitchilas Din Umekudosh Mekudosh Kigmar Din. There are two parts to the process of being Mekadosh the Chodesh. Part number one is that we have to interrogate the Edim, which might take a long time. The Mishnah says in the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that they used to have diagrams all over the walls in the Bezdin to show the Edim. Did it look like this? Did it look like that? And you really have to know your stuff. You really have to take notes on what you were seeing in order to come to the Bezdin and present your case. So that's the first part of the process of being Mekadosh L'Chodesh. After we get through that part, then the end of the process is we have to declare Mekudosh Mekudosh. We have to say now it's Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, I would have thought as follows. Itzrich, so could I dechamin, I would have thought. Tiave chakiras edim kitchilas din, umekudosh mekudosh kigmar din. I would have thought that there are two different parts to the process of Kiddush HaChodesh. One part is the interrogation, and one part is the mekudosh proclamation. One part should be considered like tchilas din. One part should be considered like gemar din. Now what's the difference between tchilas din and gemar din? In a regular din Torah, forgetting about Rosh Chodesh, a regular din Torah. So we have two people come before the Bezdin, they're fighting over some contract, and we don't know who's right or who's wrong. So we sit there and we listen to both sides, and we have to go through all the files, all the documents. That's called Tchilas Din. That's the beginning of the case, because that's what we have to do in the beginning. And then the Gemar Din is when we issue the Psak. What's the difference between Tchilas Din and Gemar Din? When you can do it. So what does it mean? So the real background of this halacha is the following. The Gemara has a stira between two psukim in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Daled. The Gemara says, we have two psukim that seem to contradict each other. One pasuk says in Parshas Yisrael, Vishavtu es ha'am mechaleitz. It's my bar mitzvah parsha, it's the only reason I know. Vishavtu es ha'am mechaleitz, which means, mechaleitz means when?
Night and day.
Vishavtu es ha'am, if anybody comes before you with a din Torah, with a case, you should judge them whether it's night or it's day. That's what mechaleitz means. On the other hand, the Gemara says that we have another pasuk which teaches us in Parshas Kisetze, V'haya b'yom hanchilo es banav, that a din Torah, a mishpat, in Dine Mamonis, when we're talking about adjudicating a case in monetary matters, it has to be done only b'yom, only during the day. So how do you jive both of these psukim? On the one hand, we're told, V'haya b'yom hanchilo es banav, it has to be during the day. On the other hand, it says, V'shavtu asam b'chaleis, it can be done at any time, at day or at night. So the Gemara is bothered with the question. Answers the Gemara as follows. Kan tchilas din, v'kan gemar din. One pasuk is referring to the beginning of the din Torah, and we assume the beginning of the din Torah has to be done by yom, because the pasuk says, v'haya b'yom hanchilu es banav, so we assume it's a gzeiros hakasav that teaches us it can only be done in the day, and the gemar din, the issuing of the psak, can be done even at night. That's what the Gemara teaches us in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Daled. Okay? So again, there's a marked distinction between the Tchilas Din and the Gemar Din. The Tchilas Din, the whole beginning of the case, can be done by Yom. Has to be done by Yom. It cannot be done by Laila. You cannot begin a Din Torah at night. However, the Gemar Din, the issuing of the Psak, can be done Bein by Yom, Uvein by Laila. That's what the Gemara says. So now let's get back over here. We plug it into the story of Kiddush HaChodesh. Two Edim show up, and they want to offer testimony that they saw the Levana, and they think it should be Rosh Chodesh. So what is that considered? Like Tchilas Din or Gemar Din? Tchilas Din. That's like two people, two litigants who come in and say, we're having a fight over a contract, and we don't know what the story is, we don't know who's right and who's wrong, we want you to have a Din Torah for us. In a case like that, you can only start the Din Torah by Yom. So too over here, says the Gemara. If two Edim show up and say, they saw the Levana, and they want to be Mekadosh L'Chodesh, that's the Tchilas Din. That's the beginning of the case. Us declaring and pronouncing that it is Mekudosh HaChodesh, that is like the Gemar Din. That's like issuing a psak. So the Gemara says, maybe they should follow the same rules. Just like in a regular monetary Din Torah, we would say that the Gemar Din can be done by Yom or by Laila. So too I should say the same over here. If we had a long discussion with the Edim, and we finished up everything that we had to speak to them about, and now that it comes time to proclaim that today is Rosh Chodesh, now it's already nighttime, I should have said, That's like Gemar Dinah should be able to declare it Rosh Chodesh even once it's night already. Correct? Kamash Malan says the Gemara, that's not the case. That's not the case. Now the obvious question is, why is that not the case? Isn't that a direct parallelism? Right?
How would it work out practically if you're declaring Rosh Chodesh
as yesterday? Right? If you're declaring Rosh Chodesh as yesterday, how would it work out? So that's a problem that always bothered me. I think it's a really good question. What was it like in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, in the times of the Sanhedrin? So I woke up in the morning this morning, and I go to Shul. Do we say Hallel or do we not?
We don't know yet.
We don't know yet. So what happens? So I come to Shul, and we have a regular weekday Shemona Esrei, and I run out to the train. And I didn't say Yalav Yavam Shemona Esrei, correct? Then, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Edim show up in the Bezna, and they say, by the way, we saw the Levana, today's Rosh Chodesh. So what do you mean? So now what? So we send out an email to the whole world that says, by the way, you better stop whatever you're doing. It's time to say Hallel. And what about my Shachar Shemona Esrei this morning? We know the halacha is that when I'm davening Shemona Esrei in the morning, Shachris, and I forget to say Yalav Yavam on Rosh Chodesh, what do? I have to repeat. If I daven Ma'ariv and I forget, I don't have to repeat. So what happens? The Edim show up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What? Right. Why not? They didn't daven? Anshe Knesset Gedolah.
They only had the Anshe Ma'ariv there.
No, that was in the Beis HaMikdash. But what about the whole world? What about everybody else? Everybody else in all the other communities, what did they do? And forgetting about, that's what I'm saying. The davening is a halbitzar. The halal is a little bit, no big deal. What about the karbonos? Which karbonos did we bring? So how did it work? So what happens? So we're supposed to have karbonos that are offered on Rosh Chodesh. So what happens? What did they do that day in the Beis HaMikdash? We woke up in the morning, which karbonos did we bring?
Regular day.
Now we find out at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and Shkia is at 5:30. So what do we do? It's too late already. What? So Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, Lo Matzinu Ela Me'uber. The Gemara says Rosh Hashanah never happened that Ela was an Iber. It always turned out that Rosh Hashanah, they knew exactly when it was supposed to be.
Niskakul
Alvi and Bashir. So the Gemara mentions that sometimes they really messed it up. Correct. So that's why we had to have takanas in place, because otherwise we're all messed up. How can we have Edim show up at 5 o'clock and Shkia is at 5:30, and now all of a sudden the Bezin's going to have to send out a proclamation to the whole world that, by the way, today's Rosh Chodesh, you better go quickly, stop whatever you're doing, go say hello, go be makav the karbanos, it's out of control. We can't do such a thing. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan made a takana, there's up to a certain deadline when we will accept the Edim. Makes a lot of sense, because otherwise the whole world is upside down. Otherwise, we don't even know what we're supposed to be doing. I still think, even after Rabbi Yochanan's Takana, it's still a problem, because what do we do by Shachris? Still, what do we do by Yalav Yalav Shachris? So we don't know yet that it's Rosh Chodesh, but the Mafreya became Rosh Chodesh, so it turns out I didn't daven Shachris this morning? I don't know. So, what? It's not always like that. What do you mean? You don't always have another day. What? Those times, they didn't always declare another day. If it's already night, if it's already nighttime, then they say it's an Iber. What if they do it 30 minutes before Shkia? That's after Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai's Takana. But what? So what do you do? The Edim show up at 4 o'clock. They were traveling the whole day from Tzvat. They finally show up. Now we have a chance to interrogate them. So what do we do now?
Did they ever show up from Tzvat?
What?
I mean, would the people in Tzvat assume that the people knew Tzvat? They wouldn't know it was crowded.
So that's interesting. The Gemara said, beginning of the Masechta, I can't remember which daf, the beginning of the Masechta talks more. The Gemara says that we used to encourage anybody who saw the Levana to come, regardless of where they were coming from. And even if it meant being Mechal Shabbos, perhaps, I think the Mishnah says, we would tell them to do that as well. Ah, you're going to get there and see, they already Mekadosh the Chodesh 3 hours ago, so it's a waste of time. Why did I... No, still we encourage that everybody should come, because you never know. You never know. That's what it says, you never know. We shouldn't turn anybody away from doing the mitzvah. So that's what the Gemara says. So back to what we're talking about here. We have Tchilas Din and Gemar Din. By any regular Dinei Mamonos, we have two parts of the case. We have accepting the Edim, and then we have the other part of the case, which is the Gemar Din, the issuing of the Psak. So over here as well, says the Gemara, why don't I say that as long as you interrogate the Edim while it's still daytime, that should be good enough. But if we didn't have a chance to declare Mekudesh HaChodesh, once the Edom were interrogated already, if we didn't have a chance to declare until it's nighttime, why should we have a problem? Gemar din, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, can be done by Laila. Says the Gemara, no, because Kiddush HaChodesh is not the same as a regular Din Torah. So let's see. Says the Gemara, why not? Okay, there are two dots. There are two dots here. Let's go three lines up from the two dots. Ve'ema hachinami. Maybe really that should be true. Maybe we should say, I don't know why it's called two dots. We call it a colon in English, but in Gemara it's called two dots. There must be something behind that. What? No, it must have been something in Yiddish. What they call it? It's a mesorah. It's not a colon. There must be, what? What? There's no word like colon. Okay, two dots. All right. Okay, so the Gemara says, maybe this should really be the case that even if you didn't have a chance to declare Rosh Chodesh until already it's dark outside, maybe you should say that we have the ability to do that now. Amar Kroh, says the Gemara, no, because the Pasuk tells us, Ki chok li Yisrael hu mishpat l'elokei Yaakov. Yeah, therefore, Eimas havi chok, that's referring to being Mekadosh the Chodesh. Amos Havichog, when do we consider this to be a completed mitzvah, a chok? Only once you're Mekadosh the Chodesh. Bigamar din, Vikakari le Rachmana, Mishpat. And the Torah calls it a Mishpat. And therefore, Ma Mishpat Bayom, Af Hachinami Bayom. Just like we know that adjudicating a din Torah, a Tchilas din, has to be done by Yom, that's what we call Mishpat. So too over here. Chok the Yisrael hu mishpat, and you know, you have to stand on your head to reinterpret this pasuk also and figure out how exactly it means what it means. But the Gemara says that we learn that it's like a mishpat, and therefore it has to be done by Yom as well. This is a very, very interesting drasha. But be it as it may, that's what the Gemara darshins, and from here we learn that once it turns nightfall, even if all you have left is just to declare one word Mekudesh HaChodesh, you cannot do that. You have to wait until the next day, and the previous month will now become a Chodesh Meuber. Now. That's a good question. I'm not sure. So how do you look at it now? What?
They didn't ask that question.
Who didn't ask the question?
Gemara didn't really, they took him into the question.
Right, the Gemara is just saying that for whatever reason. So he wants to know, what's the maskana? So how do you understand? So now what? Mekudesh HaChodesh is considered like what? I don't know. Not exactly sure. I don't know what difference it would make. Because either way, the Gemara just assumes it's not a possibility. So what's the simple understanding of this that we mentioned from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Tchilas Din has to be done by Yom, and Gemar Din can be done even by Laila, based on the Psukim. Simple understanding is we have Xeris HaKasiv. One Pasuk says you have to do by Yom, one Pasuk says by Laila, so we learn Tchilas Din, Gemar Din. The Ran in our Sugya seems to assume not that way. The Ran in our Gemara, in Chidushi HaRan, writes that no, the reason why you're able to do a Gemar Din by Laila, it's not the Ran in the back, it's the Ran in the Chidushim. You can look it up upstairs. The reason why the Ran says, the reason why a Gemar Din can be performed by Laila is not because it's a Gzeres HaKasav. Rather, says the Ran, that's like a Hemshech of everything that went on during the day. Because we started everything already by Yom, and because we got the ball rolling, so okay, it's already 9, 10 o'clock at night, alright, so big deal, so now you do the Gemar Din at night, it's considered like it's being done during the day. That's what the Ran explains, why Gemara Din is able to be done by Laila. So again, our Gemara says, with regard to Kiddush HaChodesh, this seems to be an exception to the rule. So forget about Kiddush HaChodesh for now. But the Ran's interpretation is a very strange one. And the reason why many Achronim find a problem with it is because we have a Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Kuf Dalid, which says the following. We have a Machlokas in Maseches Yevamos, where the Gemara is talking about Chalitza. So as we know, when you have an unfortunate story about a woman whose husband passes away and they don't have any children, and there happens to be a brother, a Yavam, so they have to do either Yibum or Chalitza. So says the Gemara, is a Chalitza allowed to be performed by Laila or not? So the Gemara says it's a Machlokes Tanaim. It's a disagreement between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim, whether or not you're allowed to perform a Chalitza once it's nighttime. What's the crux of the disagreement? What's the Machlokes? So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, if you hold like the Chachamim that Chalitza Balayla is kasher, that's because you feel that it's like a Gemar Din. Just like Gemar Din can be done by Balayla, so too Chalitza can be done by Balayla. And if you hold, like Rabbi Elazar, that chalitza has to be done specifically by Yom, it's because you believe that chalitza is like tchilas din. And just like a tchilas din has to be done by Yom, so too chalitza has to be done by Yom. What's the correlation between chalitza, tchilas din, gemara din? What are we talking about here? Why should those be similar at all? Why should those be connected at all? So, that's a very good question. But be it as it may, when you hear this gemara, the gemara says maybe you should say that chalitza is like a gemara din. So again, if you had the simple understanding of a gemara din, the reason why it could be balayla is because it's a gzeres hakasa, we learn it out from a pasuk. So you say, you learn it out from a pasuk, and now we're going to extend the halacha also to chalitza. Same way we learn gzeres hakasa here, it's gzeres hakasa there. But if you learn like the Ran's understanding in our sugya, that the reason why a gemara din is able to be performed balayla is because what? Because it's a continuation of everything that went on. How does that fit into the case of chalitza? The case of chalitza is a very simple matter. You don't interrogate anybody. A man and a woman walk into the bezin, they tell us, we need to do X, Y, and Z, we're a yavam and a yavama, this is what the procedure we have to do, it takes 10 minutes. So what do you mean? That's not a tchilas din and a gemar din? So how can the gemara say, if you learn like the understanding of the Ran, that a gemar din can be done by Laila only because you were already busy with this all day long, then how do you understand why the Gemara says that chalitza can possibly be performed by Laila because it's like a Gemara din? How is it connected at all to a Gemara din? The question's clear? So, the following incredible chiddush was told to me by both Rav Mordechai Kaldach and by my father, so it must be Emes because they both thought of the same idea. And it's an incredible idea. The reason why I love it so much is because it's the first chiddush Rabbi Kaldach ever told me, not the first one my father ever told me, but it's the first one when I met Rabbi Kaldach, it was the first one that he told me. And here goes the chiddush as follows. When we have, let's say, a bezdin who has to watch a ger go into the mikveh and become a ger, the Gemara tells us in Yevamos Daf Mem Zayin, Yevamos Daf Mem Vav, that when a ger becomes a ger, that has to be done in the presence of a bezdin. What exactly is the role of the bezdin when the ger is going into the mikveh? So the ger goes into the mikveh. Let's say the ger goes without a bezdin present. Is he Jewish? No. The Gemara says the bezdin has to be present, and if the bezdin is not there, the ger does not become a ger at all. So what's the role of the bezdin? So Tosfos has two opinions about what exactly our role as a bezdin is when the ger is doing the activity on his own. He's the one who's preparing himself. He's the one who goes into the mikveh. He's the one who comes out. What exactly are we doing? One opinion in Tosfos is the Bezdin basically is being mezakeh the ger with the Jewishness. What does that mean? It means basically we have to impose, we have to infuse you with the Yiddishkeit, whatever that's supposed to mean. But we are mezakeh you. We are ones who are really actively involved in you becoming a ger. There's another opinion in Tosfos that no, it's just edei kiyum. We don't really have to do anything. You're the one who's doing everything. You're going into the mikveh. But there happens to be a halacha that when you're doing your procedure of going into the mikveh, it has to be done in the presence of a bezdin. Not that the bezdin is the ones who are effectuating the geiris to happen. Not that they're the ones who are infusing any kedusha into you. You're the one who's doing everything. Just as a tnai, there's a halacha that it has to be done in the presence of three people in the presence of a bezdin. Okay, that's the question. And that is basically a very important question when it comes to Hilchas Geirus. Take, for example, the Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Mem Vav that a ger is not allowed to be Megayer on Shabbos. Why is a ger not allowed to be Megayer on Shabbos? Why can't he go into the mikvah? We know many Hasidim go to the mikvah on Shabbos. We know women go to the mikvah on Shabbos. So why can't a ger also be Megayer on Shabbos by going into the mikvah? What's the Yisr? What's the prohibition? So what would you say? The Gemara says, Misakin Manet. Because you used to be a non-Jew. Now by going into the mikveh, you're, so to speak, completing your body. You're being misakin money. You're fixing yourself, and now you're becoming a Jew. You're elevating yourself. So therefore, you're not allowed to be Megayer on Shabbos. Ask the stipler a very sharp question. Who's the Isser on? Who is violating the Isser? Right now, the guy is not Jewish. So what are you going to tell him? Oh, you're going to be Mechal Shabbos if you go into the mikveh? What do you mean? I'm not Jewish. I can do what I want. What are you going to tell me? Once I come out of the mikveh? What do you mean? I did it already. So ask the stipler, what does the Gemara mean? You're not allowed to be Megayer on Shabbos because it's Misakin Mana. Why is it Misakin Mana? What did he do wrong?
Plus you did Mila on
Shabbos. No, so let's say you did the Mila before or after, whatever you're going to do. So you don't do the Mila.
No, I'm saying... Oh,
not for a ger.
No, regular Mishmila you do on Shabbos.
Ah, okay. But that's a Gzeres HaKasa. Bayam HaShmini Yimal B'Sar HaLasa HaFila B'Shabbos. That's a gzeiras hakasa. But here by a ger, there's no gzeiras hakasa that says take him as a ger even on Shabbos. So the Gemara says it's a violation on Misakin Mana. Ask the stipler, what's the Misakin Mana? On who? Says the stipler, it must be on the Bezdin. Because by you standing there and participating, you are obviously being Misakin Mana. You're violating the Yisr. What do you mean? What am I doing? Well, that really plays into the issue of what is the role of a Bezdin and a Geirus. If you believe that the Bezdin is actively involved, they're the ones who infuse him with the Kedusha, then you'll say they're the ones who are violating Misakin Mana when he goes to the Mikvah on Shabbos. But if you say he's doing everything on his own, and the Bezdin just needs to stand there to be the Edim, to be the Kiyum Adavar, it's just a tnai in the halacha that you need to do it in front of somebody else, then how can you say it's Misakin Mana on the Bezdin? What did they do wrong? Okay, but that's just a tnai. They're not actively doing anything. If they're the ones being mezakeim, I understand. But if not, how can you say that's mezakeim mana? Now the same question comes out not only by geir but also by chalitza. A chalitza has to be performed in the presence of a bezdin. It's a very unique kind of situation because usually a bezdin is constituted of three people. Over here by chalitza, you need five people in order to have a bezdin, which is a very unique halacha. If you ever had a chance to go see a chalitza, anyone has ever seen it, it's worthwhile. It's very unfortunate, but it's interesting to see a chalitza. I saw two of them in my life. It's very interesting. So by chalitza, it's the same question. What exactly is the role of the bezdin when the chalitza is being performed? You have the yavam and the yavama taking off shoes, spitting at each other, whatever they're doing, saying psukim. So what are we doing? We're just sitting here doing nothing. We're just sitting here saying, oh, did he do this part yet? Yeah, making sure of the procedure. So why do you need us here? So again, that's the same question that the Achronim raised. Are the Bezdin for the Chalitza the ones who now stamp the woman with the heter and say, oh, now you've gone through the procedure, we're the ones who are mezaka you that now you can go and marry whoever you want? Same question as by Geirus. Or do you say, no, the Yavam and the Yavama, once they go through the procedure, it's as if they have done everything. Now she allows herself to go ahead and get married. Just there happens to be a side halacha that she cannot do that procedure unless there's a Bezdin present. But not that the Bezdin is necessary to stamp a heter on her. It's just that the Bezdin needs to be standing on the sidelines to be watching everything that's going on. Am I being clear? So that's the question by Chalitza. That's the same question by Geirus. Now take, for example, you're allowed to do a Chalitza on Shabbos? No, not allowed to do a Chalitza on Shabbos. Why not? So the Gemara says the reason you're not allowed to do a chalitza on Shabbos is because we're concerned you're going to write out a shtar chalitza. You're going to violate, you're going to be mechal Shabbos, because after the woman goes through the whole procedure, you're going to write her a document that says, you have gone through the procedure, now you're allowed to marry whoever you want, and we want to have it in our files. We want to make sure. So we're concerned if you're going to do a chalitza on Shabbos, maybe someone's going to shema yichtov, someone's going to come to write. So that's a concern. The Yerushalmi says no. The reason why you're not allowed to do a chalitza on Shabbos, says the Yerushalmi, is not because gzeira shema yichtov. Nah, no one's going to write. We're talking about a bezdin here. No one's going to make that mistake. Rather, it's because ein danin. Rather, it's because a bezdin is not allowed to convene on Shabbos. So what's the machlokas, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi? What are they arguing about? What's the reason why you can't do a chalitza on Shabbos? What's the crux of the issue? So perhaps the issue is the following. What is the role of the bezdin in a chalitza during any day of the week? What is our role? If our role is that we are active participants, we're the ones that have to stamp the woman with the heter and say, now, harei al-muteras, and you can marry whoever you want, then I understand why the Yerushalmi says the reason they cannot have a chalitza be done on Shabbos is because they ain't done it. We're really actively participating in everything that's happening. That's like having a din Torah on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. On the other hand, if you say that the Bezdin's role in the chalitza is just in its bystanders, they're watching, you got to come up with a new reason why we cannot do a chalitza on Shabbos. It can't be because they ain't done, and this is not really a din Torah. We're not really actively participating in everything that's going on. That's why the Bavli says the reason why is because gzeira shema yichtov. We're concerned. Maybe you're going to write it down in the files. You're going to write a shtar chalitza. Okay, so this is clear. So we have a question again by chalitza and by geiris. What exactly the role of the bezdin is? Now keep that in mind for a second. Now let's just review where we're trying to go, what we're trying to answer. We said, the Gemara tells us there's a distinction between Tchilas Din and Gemar Din. The beginning of a Din Torah can be done by Yom or by Laila. The Gemar Din The beginning of a Din Torah can only be done by Yom. The Gemar Din can be done by Yom or by Laila. Before we knew anything, we thought that, if you hear from Arab, it's next door. Before we knew anything, we thought that it's just Gzeres HaKasev. Gzeres HaKasev, Torah says, do this in the morning, this can be done at night, no big deal. The Ran in our sugya says no. The reason why Gemara Din can be done by Laila is because why? It's a continuation of everything that went on during the day. If the Ran is correct in his understanding that the reason why a Gemara Din can be done by Laila is because it's just a Hemshech, it's a continuation of everything that happened during the daytime, then how do you understand this Machlokes, Rebbe Lezer and the Chachamim, when it comes to Chalitza Balaila? The Gemara says, are you allowed to do a Chalitza Balaila or not? Says the Gemara, well, maybe yes because it's like a Gemara Din, maybe no because it's like a Tchilas Din. What do you mean? How could it be like a Gemara Din? According to the Ran's understanding of what a Gemara Din is, that it's only allowed to be done at night because you already did something during the day. By Chalitza, that's not the case. By Chalitza, the Gemara is describing a case where three Dayanim are sitting, 10 o'clock at night, late at night. Yavam and Yavama walk into the shul. They ask, oh, could we do a Chalitza? And that's the disagreement in the Gemara, whether or not we can start a Chalitza by Laila. So how does the Ran understand why it should be like Gemara Din and why it should be allowed at night? The answer is, how do you understand the role of the Beis Din by a Chalitza in the first place? If the role of the Beis Din by a Chalitza is just that they have to be innocent bystanders observing what's going on, that's like a Gemara Din. That's like a Gemara Din. That's not really the Beis Din getting into the thick of the issue and having to interrogate all the Eidim and going through all the different documents and everything. That's not like Tchilas Din. What the Gemara means is perhaps because of the nature of the role of a Beis Din when it comes to a Chalitza, because the nature of their role is only to be innocent bystanders and watching what's going on, perhaps, says the Gemara, that should be considered like a Gemara Din. And we see already that a Gemara Din can be issued at night. That's just the last part of the case. The Ran, even if you learn like the Ran can understand that Gemara. Why? Because the Ran perhaps would say that what they're arguing about in that Gemara is what the role of a Beis Din is. If you feel that the role of a Beis Din is a participatory role in everything that's happening, then you understand why a Chalitza can only be done by Yom, because the same way a Tchilas Din, the thick of the case has to be done by Yom, so too a Chalitza can only be done by Yom. But if you understand that the role of a Beis Din is only to be standing on the side and watching as everything is going on, and not that they have to give the heter, but that the women and the men are the ones who are giving the heter to themselves, and our role as a Beis Din standing on the side is just to be a tnai to whatever it is, to let it go through. So in a case like that, perhaps you can understand why it is that the opinion of the Chachamim is that a Chalitza Balaila should be like a Gemara Din and should be permissible to be done Balaila as well. Yeah. Right.
So that's not applicable to the Chalitza.
Right.
The Chalitza didn't start during the day at all. You have the entire Gemara Din at night.
Right. So what you see, correct. So you're 100% correct. Let me just clarify one point. What you see from the Ran is, we need, in order to issue a psak at the end of a case, we have to be called a Beis Din, right? So if we have three Dayanim who get together 10 o'clock at night in the middle of nowhere, not in the middle of a case, just one night we all sit down together. Can you call us a Beis Din or not? What do you say? No, why not? Because we can't do anything now. What the Ran teaches us is that as long as we started during the day, we still have the shame Beis Din at night. And that's a very critical point. Thank you for pointing that out. We still have the status of a Beis Din at night as long as we began during the day. So again, when you have a Chalitza where we don't actually have to do anything, we're just standing on the side. Can a Beis Din have a shame Beis Din at night as well? You see from the Ran that yes, we can be labeled as a Beis Din even by Laila. As you see, we can issue a psak at night. So over here, if all you need is three representatives standing up there and being called a Beis Din just to watch what's happening, they don't have to actively be involved in anything that we're doing, then you learn from this halacha of Gemara Din that that's sufficient. And that can be done by Laila. And perhaps that's the understanding. Thank you, you clarified it. Yeah.
Are you saying that it doesn't matter about this as long as the Beis Din starts during the day and ends at night, even if they did 50 cases in between?
No. Only in this case, no.
But then how does that apply then? If they didn't start the public case during the day.
Correct. So the Gemara doesn't mean to say this is like a Gemara Din, because then how does the Ran understand it? All the Gemara means to say is the same way what you see by a Gemara Din is that we still have a label, a shame Beis Din even by Laila, and that's why we're allowed to issue a psak even at night. So to over here, where all we need to do by a Chalitza is be innocent bystanders and watch what's going on, that's like issuing a psak. We don't really have to do anything. We're not adjudicating any case there by Chalitza. So all you need is that we have the shame Beis Din. Well, we see from the Ran by Gavdin that we do have a shame Beis Din by Laila, from the fact that we're able to give a psak din after it's nighttime already. And therefore we can extrapolate from there that perhaps a Chalitza can be done by Laila as well. Yeah.
I think the clearance, the
way I would see it would be like an uncontested divorce, where the parties do everything, the judge doesn't have to think, all he has to do.